Brett Bielema with the Internet and Radio Media yesterday in Hoover, Alabama.
I'll go back to my first year. I was the head coach of the University of Wisconsin my rookie year. We had finished the season 11-1. Two teams in our league, Michigan and Ohio State, had been undefeated. They went into their last game. One team won and one team lost. And by that time, the BCS had a two-team limit to get into BCS. So I wasn't allowed. Wisconsin was on the outside looking in. So we were put in the Capital One Bowl against a very, very good Arkansas team, ironically, that had a very good group of players. Darren McFadden, all over the place, had great players. And the SEC and all that that brought, and went down there and won that game. And was excited because we beat an SEC team, but also on the same account, got a flavor for what it was all that week and what it meant to play Arkansas, and ironically how much that factored into where I am today. So been a big fan of the SEC. I think what everybody has to keep in mind is when you're in another league, you really can't brag on another league. It's not in your best interest. So I said and did things that obviously are counterproductive to SEC support. You guys have long-term memory, so you, of course, brought those same things back up to me later on, which I totally understand. And, you know, I was kind of a closet SEC fan. I really enjoyed watching certain teams have success, certain coaches, the way they coached, the style that they coached. And as my career advanced at Wisconsin, I always go back to thinking, you know, the day that you're satisfied is the day you stop breathing. And I just really felt, for me and my time and my career with my wife and where we were going and what we were doing, it was a chance to kind of break away and start something new in a great league, and that's why I made it, and I think it's a great opportunity. You know, we're going to definitely run the football. I think one of the things that gets left in the discussion is we were also tremendously talented throwing the football. Last year might be a little bit off number-wise, but the 3 years prior to that, we were one of the most efficient teams in balance between running and throwing the football, and that's not very common. There was only two or three, four teams a year that would do that. But on the same account, I realize that it's much easier, in my opinion, to rush the ball for 4 yards than throw the ball for 4 yards, you know. Put the guy in his hands, block it up the right way, and you got 4 yards, you know. If you want to throw the football, you got to be able to get the quarterback to throw it. You got to get the guy to catch it. You got to get the protection in between there. So it's kind of just a way that we do things. I do hope that we should be able to run the football. The key to me, do you know when you're a good running offense? This is really easy. Everybody just thinks by numbers. You can, you know, people can pad numbers. You can run for 350 yards in a game and 150 in the next one, and you come out with an average that is good, but you didn't do anything in the second game, you know. So what you really do, if you become a good running team, is you be able to run the football when everybody in the stadium knows you're going to run the football. You know, I knew I had a good team when we played Michigan and we ran the ball 28 times in a row. That's when I knew I had a good rushing football team. So I don't know if we can get to that point, but people kind of lose vision on what is a good rushing offense. A good rushing offense is when it's 4th-and-1, they know I'm going to run over right tackle, and that's what we do. And that's when you have a good rushing offense.
Speaking of the offensive line, talk about his development.
I've been very blessed the fact that I didn't know a guy like Travis Swanson was sitting there waiting at Arkansas. Travis is an exceptional football player. He's an exceptional human being, but from a pure football standpoint, he is probably the best center that I've ever coached, and I've had some good ones. Had guys get drafted in the first, second round the last couple of years, but Travis can bend. He's athletic. He's strong. He's gifted academically. In the mind, he can do things that calling our whole offensive set and plays that is exceptional. Really excited we moved Bray Cook from right tackle to right guard. Anybody that starts a tackle and moves to guard is going to just be that much better off in the space that he's provided. I think at left tackle, Hurd is a player that he may not exactly be everything that you want, but he is definitely very, very efficient and is a guy that we're excited to see get out there. We moved Grady Olson to right tackle. He has gone from 275 pounds to 305 pounds and looks really, really good. So I'm excited. We got good tight ends, got a great fullback in Carroll Small, got a host of running backs, and those guys tend to make linemen look a little bit better.
Coach, you got an offensive coordinator, Jim Chase. How do you guys work that out?
We fight. I sat down with Jim during the process, and you know, Jim had spent some time in the league with the NFL and the Rams, and I think Jim really kind of explained to me is in certain situations he was in, that was all they could do to win, you know, and he understands the value of running the football and would like to do that. So I think that's the neat thing. you know, as a group of coaches, we got guys that want to work together to win games. Nobody's looking for a resume. Nobody's looking for that next opportunity. We're looking to try and make things great where we're at. And I've really enjoyed working with Jim over the course of these first 6 months. And I think Sam Pittman, offensive line-wise coach, brings a lot to the table there as well. So it's been fun to see that whole thing blend together. And, you know, I'm not saying I'm not going to have to occasionally remind him, hey, let's run the ball a little here, you know, and have some – I think one of the greatest assets that – people forget to talk about his time. You know, a football game 60 minutes. You know, if you have the football more than your opponent, other than a few exceptions to the rule, you usually have a better chance of winning. If you have the ball longer than they do, you usually can score more than they do. Oregon is not in that equation, but there are a number of schools and programs that play football a certain way that theory holds up pretty good.
Talk about your defense, specifically the linebackers.
Excited for this group. We got a group that hasn't played a lot, guys that are very hungry, very eager, don't know exactly where it's going to pan out. Jarrett Lake is a guy that, you know, was probably our most consistent guy during the spring. Had Robert Atiga, Braylon Mitchell, number of guys in the spring that came up. I do think two incoming guys, Martrell Spate and Brooks Ellis, one a JUCO transfer and one a high school incoming freshman, have a chance to help us in the spring or help us in the fall as well. What's that?
How difficult has it been to change?
Well, I think we got to be smart. We can't, you know, we can't cram a square peg into a round hole. We don't want to force something that's not there. But on the same account, you know, we wanted to make kids understand what we wanted to do. Our first spring practice, when we padded up and put on big boy pants, you know, we went an inside drill that lasted for eternity. I don't think those guys thought it was ever going to end. But I wanted them to understand what it means to run the football and why we want to do that. And then, you know, find out what kids are good at and make them. Our kids have changed. You know, if you take all of our offensive linemen and all of our defensive linemen and you walk them through the back of the door now versus where they were at in January, they've all changed their bodies. I mean, and it's been done the right way, and they look good. I'm very excited to see how that change is going to carry over into football this fall. Yeah, if they want to question my character, if they want to question my truthfulness when answering a question, I'll let them put me up to any type of test they want to do. I mean, it's player safety driven. We play a type of offense that we huddle and play the game, and I make jokes about that and have fun with that, but that's just what I believe in. If someone wants to play up tempo, I'm going to pat them on the back and say, giddy up, let's play. I'd love to do it. But it is strictly from a player. You cannot tell me that a player that plays multiple snaps in a row is as strong and is not put himself in a position to be vulnerable to injury. I'm not talking catastrophic. I'm not talking something that he may not play the game again, but he may be vulnerable to hamstring pulls, back problems, anything that's related to movement, which involves your ACL, your PCL, your MCL, your knees, not just the defensive players. You know, every defensive tackle that weighs 320, he's getting blocked by a guard that weighs 320. And the tackle that weighs maybe more or less than that, I mean, it's just we changed the rules on kicking so much 2 years ago, and everybody got all riled up and all this and all that. We significantly decreased the number of catastrophic injuries by changing the rules in a better way, and it really didn't affect the game. Now, it affected the field position and you know, kickoff returns and that stuff, but it didn't change the game. It's still football. Everybody's still there. All the crowds are still there. Everybody's still buying tickets. If we can make the game just a little bit safer for the players involved, I think that it's a disservice as head coaches. What's that?
What are you going to ask of Brandon Allen this fall?
What are we going to ask of Brandon Allen? We're going to ask him to do what I ask every quarterback to do. I want him to manage the game effectively. I want us to be able to be in the right position before the snap. If we've got a situation that requires us to change the play, I expect him to be able to do it. If he has the ability, as he gets more and more exposure and experience, if he can break down a play, as a play begins to break down on him and the answer isn't there for him to create and make something new, all the more power to be it. But protect the football and make first downs.
Coach, what's all that about?
Yes. I think it will, because some guys with some computers that are a lot smarter than me are going to be able to figure out some numbers and some statistics and figure out. I've already had two people inquire to me about statistical data that they've, you know, began to research and understand. So I just think it's at a point where player safety is always the prevailing, as it should be, and that's going to be something that – and I'm not asking for significant change. I'm just asking for us to be able to, you know, sub a few players out. Here and there. I made comment and made reference. You know, when an offensive team makes a first down, most hurry-up offenses try to snap the ball as fast as they can. They're still not getting the ball. If you have a gain of 8 or more yards, you're not snapping the ball within the first 10 seconds. So if it gives them, you're not changing the game at all. You're just clarifying it for defensive coaches to be able to substitute and offensive coaches. I think everybody's lost in the offense versus defense. And obviously, a coach before me here today made a couple comments, and he's an offensive coach. And, you know, we don't like them. You know, it's a rival school as well as it is. So that's going to get lost in the mix a little bit. I'm just concentrating on the facts. I try to, you know, focus on the facts a lot more than just trivial stuff.
That is Brett Bielema yesterday in front of the media at SEC Media Days. Today, again,